us by his grace. There is a sound, I hear it all around. Worship is rising, people crying out. Wanna sing a new song? Shout it out louder than before. Let the whole earth sing. Let the whole earth sing. It's a song of praise. A song for all of the redeemed. Let the whole earth sing. Taken my chains, there's freedom in Jesus, power to save. There is a name like no other name. There's freedom in Jesus.
you, hallelujah. Jesus.
Has God filled you with a joy that no circumstance, no situation can wipe away that joy that he has put inside you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you remember that day when God filled you with his spirit for the very first time? It's unforgettable, and there's some unforgettable highs, and that is the highest of high that I'll ever experience, and I'll never forget the time and my reaction to it. I'll never forget Luke putting his arm around me on a Sunday morning service, says, "You got the Holy Ghost," and I remember me being out of breath for about 10 minutes after he said that. I just started, like, just gasping for air. And I remember looking at the some of the staff down in the basement. They were Sunday school staff. Joel Paris was one of them. And he came over, and the look on his face was a smile and like a laugh. Like, you could not take that away. And he just wanted to see what happened that morning. And I'll never forget it. And it was one of the highest of highs and the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And there's other some highs in life, like seeing my children being born. That's an incredible high. And another high is seeing them being filled with the Spirit and seeing them being baptized at 8 years old and 10 years old. I'll never, those are incredible highs in life. And I'll never forget that. Buying my first home, I was so nervous. I know I put people on edge because it was a nervous excitement. I'm like, man, I'm going to have my first house and sitting at the closing. But I got thinking about how Israel being delivered from the oppression of Egypt. And Miriam's song in Exodus 15 in verses 20 and 21. And it says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tremble and in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles and with dances. And Miriam answered, 'Sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he hath thrown down into the sea.'" That was the highest of high. But there are those kind of highs, and then there are those other kind of circumstances where there's day three in the wilderness. There's day three of uncertainty. They have experienced the highest of high. You could testify like, "Oh, Lord, I experienced the highest of high," but I'm kind of walking away from that. That's been behind me a few days. And you're going to have this day three. We all going to encounter day three in our walk with God. And I got thinking about that this week, throughout this week. And this is a prayer that I pray personally. Lord, help me to trust you on day three. Day three is going to come. We're going to have a time of uncertainty in our lives. In your walk with God, in your personal walk, you're going to have a time where day three of uncertainty is going to come. And Lord, help me with that time of uncertainty. That my response will be to trust you and to please you, to walk with you and to talk with you. That my heart and my will always be towards you. Through those times of uncertainty, Lord, let my heart be towards you. Lord, my human spirit, let that just be subsided for a while. Lord, let your spirit resonate and dwell within me. Lord, I want to be filled. I need to be filled with your spirit, Lord, in those times of uncertainty on day three. May I not murmur or complain, Lord. Lord, I'm going to trust you on day three. Let in the last days when God says, am I going to look for faith and find it? May it be found in First Apostolic Church of Sandwich with his people in the church body. May it be full of faith. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Let's walk with him and talk with him today in Jesus' name.
With me.
walk with me. Giver of each breath, walk with me. How I need you. How I need you.
Walk with me.
Hallelujah. This is the final week of Penny Wars. We're going to ask the Grimms to come forward because I'm sure they have something that they want to share with us, that they may want to entertain us with this morning. So we're going to give them. Sister Grimm's up to something.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, this is the final week, so. Mason's. While we were gone, I don't know. I heard, yeah, I don't know. The women made a major comeback while we were gone. So, men, I don't know what to tell you, but you're going to have to step back up. So, anyway, waiting for Mason. I'm stalling a little bit for Mason to get back to this. There you go. All right. Well, like I said, final week, and then we'll give the final, you know, after this week at noon, which should be the end. So remember, checks are positive. $5 bills and above are positive. Dollars are negative. Silver is negative. Pennies are good. There were lots of pennies last week. We caught lots of pennies. And then we see, it's all for sheaves for Christ. A lot of good things. It's basically, you know, we're sharing the gospel all across the country, helping vehicles, all kinds of good stuff. And Darlene's going to give you.
So week four, we collected $103.89. There's a total.
Awesome.
So a total so far, we've got 64. $649.78, that's pretty good.
That's awesome.
And of course, ladies are first. Woo-hoo! We're negative $32.62. But the men are also negative $11.4. So they're still ahead by $21.22. So, but that doesn't, I'm not a quitter.
No, right.
I'm not a quitter. And I've learned from him to be very competitive. He's very competitive when he plays. So all of us women stick together. We're going to make this happen. So all of the women stand up. And let's go make our donations into the men's jar.
All right, so you want to take up the offering this time too? No. Yes? Is that a yes? Okay. And ushers come at this time.
Ready? Sorry, that was from the previous one. Wow. Sorry. Oh, that's what it is. We did not pray. The organ on fast songs like that just doesn't work very well. So, okay.
A little bit of free time for the there women to get silver and the men.
I am yours. I was running and you found me. I was blinded and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken and you healed me. I was dying and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. You found me, I was blinded, and you gave me sight. You put a song of praise in me. Oh, I was broken, and you healed me. I was dying, and you gave me life. Lord, you are my identity. I know, I know.
I know who I am. Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Just thinking as we were singing the songs, walk with me, just to walk with him means everything to me. And talking about you are mine. Sometimes in we're out together as a family, because we have three little ones, we don't always get to walk hand in hand or walk as we were yesterday walking throughout a state park. We had to make a rule that they stayed in between us. I was in the lead, kids are in the middle, my wife was at the back. But when her and I are together, there's oftentimes that we will hold hands, walking together. And not only is it a public display of affection, not only is it a holding her hand, she holding mine, but it's also telling everyone, I'm with her, she's with me. Got to thinking, does my life show people that I'm with him and he's with me? Does my walk in this world point? Is it as if, or maybe you've seen them, the t-shirts they wear, there's a big hand and it's pointing and says, I'm with her, or the other hand pointing, I'm with him. I know it seems kind of funny and silly, but I wonder, does the conversation, my behavior in life, does it show, does it reveal that really just to walk with him means everything to me? I don't care about having any other accolades or accomplishments in life. I just want to walk with Jesus. I just want to have him as my friend. Hallelujah. Oh, can we lift our hands? Can we lift our voice? Lord, just to walk with you does mean everything. Thank you, Jesus. Enoch had this testimony. He was translating that he walked with God. Oh, Lord, help me to walk with you. Help my life to show that I'm with you and you're with me. We have a relationship. Let my life be a public display of my affection for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. First of all, I want to say thank you to the men. Many of them gathered together even before we had called for the time to get together. They came, and when they had time in their schedule to come up and begin putting the church back together. If you haven't noticed, you can look up and notice that the ceiling has a fresh coat of paint. Thankfully, we were able to, they finished up on Friday afternoon, so we were able to leave the windows open Friday and Saturday and air it out, so it really doesn't have. We first walked in on Friday, it was a very strong and pungent odor of paint, but that has subsided somewhat. And so we're thankful they were able to get the job done, and we were able to get all the platform back together. So thank you, men. Thank you for coming up and helping us and putting it all back together. So very much appreciated. I want to announce it. Immediate following service, department heads, we have a meeting downstairs. And so after you've fellowshipped a little bit, why don't you take opportunity to go downstairs, and we will gather together and have a department heads meeting. Tonight after service, if you are interested in being a part of a Christmas play, we're wanting to put on a Christmas play this year. So any and all, adults, teens, children, we need any and all that will be willing to help us. If you would be willing to be a part of a play, Christmas play this year, I would ask that you would stay for just a brief meeting after service tonight. Not today, tonight. Today is department heads meeting. Tonight is a meeting for all those that want to be a part of the Christmas play. And we would ask you to stay for just a few moments after service tonight to go over some details. Why don't you stand? Thank you, Jesus. I recognize that there are probably numerous needs here in the house this morning. I know that there are names of individuals who are not well in body. And I did get a text from Sister Michelle this morning. Her son, C.J. Collin, is committing to, I believe, going to the Navy this morning, so they are there for that committal time. But she asked that we would pray concerning this decision in his life, and not only pray for Collin as he endeavors to sign up and be a part of the military, but pray for Mama as she has to watch her boy grow up and go off to serve his country. And so let's remember them in prayer. If you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord knows the need. As we go to the Lord in prayer, if you would like to be anointed and prayed for, he wants you to come forward, and elders of the church will certainly do so. Can we pray right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for an awesome opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up and to magnify your name that is above every name, to give you glory and honor. You are so good. Oh, we ask you, God, for every need represented in this place, God. Hearts that are hurting, God. People who are sick in body, Lord, we know that we can come to you and believe and trust in your power to heal, to help, to raise up, to strengthen, Lord, whatever the need is, God, we know that we can come to you in faith, believing, trusting in your power to work and to move and help. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you, God. We give you glory for who you are and what you do, God. We lift you up. Hallelujah. There are others who would like to be prayed for. Why don't you come forward? Elders, if you would join us here at the front, and let's pray for those that have come forward in the name of Jesus. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's worthy of praise. As you reach for your Bibles, I do want to say thank you, Brother and Sister Grimm, for putting us on to the fundraiser of Penny Wars. It's been a lot of fun. I even understand there was some bribery that went on earlier this morning in regards to some of my children and where they were placing the money. I'll forgive you. But I believe that the men will come forward victorious. I speak that in faith. And I'm looking forward to having a hot meal prepared by the ladies. And you ladies fulfilling your obligation to the contest. and doing it with joy and love. And all that wonderful stuff. But we have enjoyed this. Thank you so much for doing that. Looks like, according to numbers, we're going to be almost halfway after today, probably. I know that today's probably going to be a big day because some of you are probably like our family. We waited till kind of the last to put the big portion of what we had put back into the jug. So looks like we're going to be probably about halfway to what we have pledged. So thank you so much. We did pledge to give an amount of $1,650 to She's for Christ. That is a 10% bump of what we gave last year. Last year we gave $1,500, and so I just felt that we needed to bump it up 10%. And so I pledged that at our She's for Christ banquet, and so we will stroke the check for that amount. So anything that you could give sacrificially to help that, we would so much appreciate that. You know me, I don't get up a lot and fleece the congregation for money. You are a very giving people, and I appreciate that. But She's for Christ is a great cause. It's a great cause. The greatest fundraising arm of our organization, and it supports, at last count, about 12 different ministries. And so we thank you for that. All you need to do is just mark She's for Christ, or if you don't know how to spell Sheaves, that's fine. Just put SFC. On the envelope, and we will know where it is to go. Thank you so much. If you have your Bibles, and you would be so kind, Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3, begin reading in verse number 9. I do want to say there is regularly scheduled service tonight. I know we've had some cancellations and some change in schedule with insurance work and just different things, but there is regularly scheduled service tonight. Prayer beginning at 6. Praise and worship at 6:30. Philippians chapter number 3. Begin reading in verse number 9. Be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means, everybody say, by any means. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. I want to draw your attention to verse number 12 again. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. I haven't made it yet. I'm not perfected. But I follow after. I pursue. If that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject, that I may apprehend. That I may apprehend. I want you to say that together with me. That I may apprehend. Can we pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you for another opportunity to be here in your house. We thank you for your word, God. For out of it are the issues of life. Lord, we pray that you would open our hearts, our minds to receive your understanding, God, that comes through your word. That we would leave here encouraged, uplifted, strengthened, renewed in the spirit of our mind to better serve you, God, to do your will, to see the way in which you would have us to walk with you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, Jesus, for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. If you were to read the verses prior to our text in Philippians 3, you would find out that Paul is forfeiting any confidence anyone may place in the flesh. And he is compelling any of the readers of this letter to do the same. And while he initially gives a revealing resume in regard to his abilities and accomplishments, he immediately downplays and then completely disregards any and all of his own doings by saying that he counts it all as dung or waste that he may win Christ. In other words, any accomplishments aside from apprehending Christ are not really worthy of comparison. Knowing Christ through the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death is, as the Apostle Paul would bring out in this passage, it is the absolute apex in accomplishment. To know Christ through the power of his resurrections and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, according to the Apostle Paul, that is the apex of accomplishment. That is what he seeks after. That is what he longs to apprehend himself. Going so far as to say that if by any means he might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. As we read that passage, we on the surface it seems as though the Apostle Paul has things out of order. Seems as though that when he wrote it, he wrote it in the wrong order. Seems in our mind, we think it should be sufferings, death, and then resurrection. So why then would the Apostle Paul place the order the way in which he did in the Scripture? Why would he put power of his resurrection first and then fellowship of his suffering seconds and then being made conformable unto his death last? You see, often we take Scripture and we attempt to make it fit into our box of soteriology, and that is simply the study of salvation. And one might want to make this Scripture conform to our teaching on salvation. Death, burial, resurrection, repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And while that is certainly what we believe to be essential to one's salvation, that is not what the Apostle Paul is teaching on. Contrary to what many may think, and I'm sorry if I do not agree with your theology, but the Apostle Paul is not talking about being saved. He is not talking about salvation. We know that because he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. He is not referencing his own salvation or the salvation of someone else. He is rather teaching on how the saved apprehend that for which they are saved. He's talking about how that people who are born again, how we are to live. He is not talking about coming to salvation. He is talking about coming from salvation. He's talking about apprehended that for which we are apprehended for. In other words, he says, I want to reach that for which Christ reached for me. I want to attain that which Christ saved me for. I want to do and I want to have those things in my life. I want to be Christ-like. I want to know him. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. And so the Apostle Paul writes it as such. He writes it in such a way that we can readily understand he is not referencing our coming to salvation, but rather he is referencing how we live and what we do in reference to being saved. This is why he begins with the resurrection. This is why he says that I may know him through the power of his resurrection. You see, the greatest evidence of truth of Jesus Christ, the greatest evidence that what he proclaimed, what Jesus proclaimed as truth, the greatest evidence of that is, in fact, his resurrection. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 14 through 17, and if Christ be not risen, then our preaching in vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up. If so be that the dead rise not, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet dead in your sins. Might I say it this way, the sufferings and the subsequent death of Christ were without effect if Jesus did not rise from the grave. Calvary
is really of no consequence. If he in fact did not rise from the dead, if there was no resurrection, then what we do and why we gather and what we go through here, even this morning, is of no effect. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, if Jesus did not come out of the tomb, if he was not seen of the disciples, and at one time as many as 500, if there were not those that could testify that Jesus Christ did in fact raise from the dead, then what he said, in that he said, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again. If Jesus was not truthful in what he said, and the resurrection did not happen, then all of this is in vain. No wonder in Matthew 27, as Jesus hung upon the cross, the Bible says, and they that passed by him reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and building this in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with scribes and the elders have said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will save him. For he said, I am the Son of God. They wanted, they begged, if you will. They pleaded, oh Jesus, if you are truly who you say you are, then come on down from the cross. If you are truly the Son of God, if you've saved others, why can you not save yourself? Come on, Jesus, come on down from the cross. And I just wonder if maybe as Jesus hung there and he heard what they had to say, I wonder if in his mind he thought, oh, no, there's something much better. Oh, I could come down from this cross. Oh, I could call down 12 legions of angels. I could deliver myself at this moment, but that would be short of the prophecy. That would be short of what the Heavenly Father promised. That would be short of what was promised unto me. That would be short of what the psalmist said. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Oh, I could come down from this cross, but there's something better that's going to happen 3 days from now. There's something better that's going to trump everything else. There is something better than me coming down from this cross right now. It's going to be me coming up out of the grave. It's going to be the resurrection. See, Jesus being raised up is for our being raised up in power. How I know this, 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. You see, here's the thing. We come to understand in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. But you need to understand the verse that precedes that. For they're asking Jesus after his resurrection, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus said, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons that the Father has put, catch it, in his own power. He doesn't stop there. And then he goes on to say, but ye shall receive power. Here's the thing. It's the understanding. He says, you got to go tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. It's coming from the Father. You need to understand this is going to be his power. Catch it. Jesus' sufferings, his death, if you will, was an act of men. They killed him. Catch it. Jesus' being buried was an act of men. They placed him in the tomb. But Jesus being raised up from the dead is an act of God. Catch this. Here's how we know that what Paul is talking about is not talking about salvation initially in Philippians chapter 3. When you and I come before God and we repent and we confess our sins, repentance is an action of man. It is something that we do. We confess. We know that something supernatural happens, but repentance is something that we do. It's an action that we perform. We repent. Baptism is something that we do. It's an action on our part. We go down in a watery grave. We know that something supernatural takes place, yes, but it is an action of man. It is something that we do, but make no mistake about it. The power of the resurrection, the Holy Ghost, is not something you do. It is not something that you can conjure up. It is not something that you can manufacture by your mouth or your own facility. The Bible says it is the Spirit which gives the utterance. And while repentance is an action of man and baptism is an action of man, the infilling of the Holy Ghost is an action of God. The Apostle Paul, he's not referencing salvation. He's referencing what happens when we are resurrected, when we have the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. St. Paul wrote and said, the first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. Make no mistake, when someone receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it is an act of God. It is God's action in accordance with our obedience, our repenting of our sins, and our being baptized in His name, in obedience to His word. Then we have opportunity to receive the action of God, the Spirit infilling us, evidenced by speaking in an unknown tongue. That is the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost. So, here's where the Apostle Paul is starting. Here, the resurrection, that we would walk in a newness of life. This is where he's talking about. This is what he's talking about, that he would apprehend. He's not talking about apprehending salvation. He's talking apprehending that for which he was saved. Talking about you and I and what we should endeavor to do upon our own resurrection. See, he goes on to say, here's it is, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. It's almost as if the process is reversed. It's almost as if when we are resurrected in the newness of life now, sufferings. The Apostle Paul was very plain in this. Matter of fact, his own conversion, we understand that the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, you go and you pray for that time Saul of Tarsus, because I'm going to show him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. The Apostle Paul, understanding his own conversion and understanding, said, listen, I've known him in the power of his resurrection, and now I'm knowing him in the fellowship of his sufferings. Here's the thing that we need to understand. Every Christian who claims Christianity must know this, that if we truly have the power, the Spirit of Christ in us, the power of the resurrection, the Holy Ghost in us, then that helps us endure sufferings. So Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. See, we understand Hebrews 5:8 tells us in reference to Jesus, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, we learn how to walk in obedience in this newness of life. We learn how to walk in a resurrected state in this newness of life through the things that we suffer. I'm sorry. But it is not the blessings of God which indicate. It is not. I'm sorry. I hate to dispel many of the prosperity doctrine that is preached all over this world. But it is not the blessings of God that identify me as a son of God and a child of God. It is my ability through the power of the Holy Ghost to have fellowship in his sufferings. See, having the Holy Ghost gives you and I the ability to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Having the Holy Ghost. You see, that's many times where we miss it. We're all about, and I believe in the birth, new birth. I believe in repentance, baptism in His name, and the infilling of His Spirit. But that is just the beginning. And that's not where the Apostle Paul is stopping. That's where he's starting. That I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. And now I've been raised to walk in this newness of life. And now this newness of life has me in fellowship with His sufferings. And so he would write, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." He said, "Listen, I've come to know that if I suffer with Him, I will also reign with Him. I've come to know that I can, through the power of His Spirit, endure the hardship, that I can, through the power of His resurrection, have fellowship in His suffering." If you don't believe this, I challenge you, read a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. I challenge you. The more they persecuted and the more the Christians of that day suffered, the more revival spread. The more the onlookers would look upon the face of these people who were tied and burnt at the stake, and they would be singing and rejoicing in their heart, and they would be smiling because their reward awaited them. And they would, as Hebrews said, they were sawn asunder, they were thrown into the fire, they endured the hard, the sword. They had all these afflictions, but guess what? They did so because they had the power of the resurrection in them, and they had the faith that though they died in this life, they were living forever in the next. Also, Paul said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Oh, Paul, you didn't get it backwards, bud. You didn't put it out of order. You put it exactly the way it's supposed to be put. And you and I need to understand that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not only is it dunamis power, the power to perform and the power to work miracles, but it is also exousia power. It is also the power of restraint. It is also the power to endure sufferings. So he was not wrong when he said that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. And you may say, "Well, Pastor, that's good because I am intimately acquainted with His sufferings." I hate to burst your little bubble, but not as much as you might think. This is the Apostle Paul saying, "This is what I want to apprehend. This is what I'm looking for." This is how he could write, "I am at a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." I'm wanting. You can't threaten me with eternity. I'm looking for it. You can't threaten me. You can't tell me you're going to take away my natural life and have that put me into some despair. What you need to understand that if you threaten to take away my natural life, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You need to understand that if you threaten me with eternity, it's not a threat. I welcome the opportunity. Because it's what I'm longing for. I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't made it yet, but I'm seeking for. I want to get that. I want to attain that. That I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. I may know Him, the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Here's the thing. I'm sorry. And I realize this is no way, shape, or form to demean or in no way do I, in any sense of the matter, would say that someone who receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost and has a new birth experience, I believe they are a new creature. I believe things are becoming new. There's a process. There's something that as we apprehend, as we seek to attain, there's something that we have the power of His resurrection. Now there's fellowship of His suffering that we may be conformable unto His death. See, the Lord deals with me sometimes, because there's even sometimes where I preach stuff and I do it well intentioned and the motive is pure, but I realize after further revelation that maybe the way I said it wasn't exactly the way it's supposed to be. Because here's the thing. A lot of times, and I know it fits and I know it works, but again, we try to place it in the box of what we understand salvation to be. And when the Apostle Paul says things like, I die daily, we say, well, see, that's talking about him repenting. And in a sense, it is. But what he's really talking about is mortifying the deeds of his body. What he's talking about is crucifying the flesh with the lusts and the affections thereof. What he's talking about is that I, through the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, I'm being made conformable unto his death. I'm learning how to mortify the deeds of this body. I am learning how to take my members. I'm learning how to take this natural body and bury it more and more and more, that my life would be hid in Christ. Colossians 3. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometimes when ye lived in them. When you lived in them before you were resurrected. And now you walk in a newness of life. So now you have fellowship with his sufferings so that you can be made conformable unto his death. What are you talking about? I'm talking about mortifying the deeds of the body. I'm talking about taking those members that are upon the earth, the fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection and all these things, this covetousness, and I'm talking about killing them. Taking those lusts. And those affections and those desires, that carnality which is enmity against God, taking those temptations and those desires, and I'm talking about killing them. I'm being made conformable unto his death. See, that's why, again, I hate to burst your bubble, but that's why living for the Lord is in the natural difficult. Because it's a killing of the natural man. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. It's a killing of the natural man that the spiritual man may live. It's making the natural man conformable unto the death of Jesus Christ. And here's the ultimate. Here's the epitome. Here's the apex. The Apostle Paul said that I may know him in the power of resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus said, greater love hath no man that he would lay down his life for a friend. Jesus, what you're saying is simply this. Once we receive the power, the Spirit of Christ in us, and we walk in a newness of life, that newness of life has us intimately acquainted with the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, which help us to conform unto his death, which help us to ultimately sacrifice. What is the ultimate act of worship? It is sacrifice. It's at the very beginning. Abel comes with a little lamb. He presents it before God. And the Bible tells us that God accepts his sacrifice. But Cain now comes to the ground. And the Bible says he had not respect unto Cain and his offering. He warned Cain. Thou doest well, will you not be accepted? It was not well, sin lieth at the door. Any of us know the story. The Bible tells us that in his anger, Cain rose up and he slew his brother Abel. It's a picture of the natural man killing the spiritual. Catch it. Now, first Adam was made a living soul, but the last Adam is made a quickening spirit. You see, Jesus Christ came so that we could do this. these excuses, but you need to understand the reason why you have the power of the Holy Ghost in your life so that you can help Abel kill Cain. So that you can help the spiritual man mortify the deeds of the natural man. So that you and I can be made conformable unto his death. That's the process. I have the power of God in my life. I have the Spirit of Christ in my life. So that I can have fellowship in his sufferings and be made conformable unto his death. See, this is why Jesus would say in Mark 8:35, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." In closing, you can stand to your feet. That I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. There's a process by which that happens. Sorry. Just because I have repented and been baptized in his name and received his Spirit doesn't stop there. It's the beginning of this newness of life. This newness of life is such that I would know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and be made conformable unto his death. Also, Paul said, "Not though I have already attained, or that I am already perfect, I haven't completely killed Cain yet. I haven't completely destroyed the natural man. But I follow after. But I'm seeking for it that I may apprehend." This is how the Apostle Paul would testify that in every city the Holy Ghost testified that if he went to Jerusalem, bonds and afflictions abide him there. He said, "Wait, but you need to understand. Nevertheless, I go. Because it's getting me closer. That if by any means I might attain under the resurrection of the dead." My hope is not here. My hope is in the hereafter. My hope is not here in the temporal. My hope is in the eternal. And I'm seeking for, I haven't apprehended, I haven't attained yet, but I follow after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And how I'm going to do that, it's a process. Knowing him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his See, Jesus, the man, Jesus Christ, the man, gave his life for the cause of the kingdom of God. Being made conformable unto his death is you and I following his example. If any man would follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You and I really want to know what living for God is and walking with Jesus is. It's having the power of his resurrection in our lives. It is allowing the Holy Ghost to help us endure sufferings, so that we learn obedience to the Spirit, so that we learn how to walk in the Spirit, so that we do not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It is allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to make us be witnesses. Witnesses of being able to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Witnesses of being able to take everything the enemy throws at us and with a smile keep on keeping on and saying, I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. I haven't attained yet, but I'm following after that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. That for which Christ got me. And I do that by allowing the power of the Holy Ghost to work in my life, that I would have fellowship in His sufferings, and that ultimately I would be made conformable unto His death, so that the life that I live, I now live for the faith in Christ Jesus. And that everything I do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ain't there. But I'm following after that I may apprehend. I know it's not all good things and blessings, not all prosperity. Nope. Not in this life, but in the one to come. And the more people that I can, through God's work in my life, lead to an eternity in heaven, the more I'm being like Jesus. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish and have everlasting life. And so now, the life that I live, I give. I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I come and I am being conformed through the power of the Holy Ghost, being made conformable unto His death, that I would be a light, that I would be an example to others. Well, Jesus, I recognize that what I preach this morning, it's not a message of popularity. It's a message of truly walking with You. It's a message of what it really means to have relationship with You, to fellowship in Your sufferings and being made conformable unto Your death. I'm sorry, but if you think just having a little glossolalia and speaking in an unknown tongue is a sign, it and it alone, that you are on your way to glory, you do err, not understanding the Scriptures. For now begins the process of allowing that same power which in me and through me the Spirit gave the utterance, allowing that same power of the Holy Ghost to build me up, that same power, that same resurrection power which raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit of Christ. That same power that gave me the ability through the power of the Holy Ghost to speak in an unknown tongue, that same power that is able to tame the most unruly member of my body is the same power which allowed me to submit the rest of my members, to mortify the other members of my body, to allow me to endure the sufferings, that I would have fellowship with the Savior, and that I would be made conformable unto His death. One day, though I have experienced the power of His resurrection and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, there is another resurrection that awaits. Behold.
Lord, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, as the last trump will sound. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. For this mortal shall put on immortality, and this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. Then how shall be brought to pass the saying, oh, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? The ultimate resurrection will take place, and that I will rise again forever to be with my Lord. The Holy Ghost, the power of His resurrection, to acquaint us and have fellowship with His sufferings, we are not being made conformable unto His death. And we are not seeking to apprehend that for which we are apprehended. Quit allowing the enemy have you so focused on staying saved. Make your calling and election sure. Now let that power of the resurrection acquaint you with the sufferings of Christ and be made conformable unto His death. And ultimately give your life for the kingdom of God. Lay down your life. Your pride, your aspirations, your goals, your dreams, lay those down. That the cause of the kingdom of Christ would be fulfilled.
To break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain, to break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
Here's a place where I have fellowship with His suffering.
To break every chain.
The ultimate act of worship. Sacrifice for the kingdom.
Sacrifice. So freely given. Such a price. To break every chain, to break every chain.
Apostle Paul said this, I want to know Him.
To break every chain.
To the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death.
There's an army rising up.
Come to our heart and our mind. It places us at a point, crossroad decision. Make choices in regards to the leading of your spirit. Lord, if there's any here that have yet to receive the power of the resurrection, it's for them. Power of the Holy Ghost, a divine act from heaven. It's promised to any and all. Lord, for many, most in the sound of my voice, we have experienced the power of your resurrection in our lives. We've received the baptism of your Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would, from this message, understand and know. Now, it's walking in newness of life. It's such that we, in knowing you, the power of your resurrection, the faith to believe that we have fellowship in your sufferings. We are made conformable unto your death. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. You're so good. You're so good. We honor you. You're with us from this place today. Precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Everybody said amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. May God, the precious name of Jesus Christ.